I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am so thrilled to have Leslie Logan on the show. You're not only a coach at Profitable Pilates and founder of an online pilatesclasses.com, but you also host an amazing podcast, Be It Till You See It. So Leslie, thank you so much for being here with me.
Oh my gosh, Annika, thank you so much. And you know, I find that sometimes things take a long time, but they happen exactly when they're supposed to. So I'm excited that you're part of my day today.
Yay, me too. And I love all the green. We both got the green memo.
You know what? I'm sure people hear this, but I'm coming off that St. Paddy's Day vibe, and I'm an Irish girl, so.
There you go. So where did you start? You started with Pilates. Did you know that that's what you wanted to do?
Oh my gosh. Isn't that so funny? When I hear people say, whatever you want to be when you're a child, like that's really what your heart's desire was. No, that is, I didn't even know Pilates existed when I was a kid. Yeah, and it was around, like contrary to what people think, Joseph Pilates brought his work to the U.S. in New York in the 1920s. So it was around when I was born. But no, I didn't know about it, didn't know it existed. And when I did hear about it after college, I thought it was like an infomercial workout that like wouldn't do what it claimed to do. So if you're someone who saw Pilates is like, not interested. I was you, so I get you. No, and then even when I started doing Pilates every day, because I loved how it made me feel, it's really funny. And I share the story because I think it will help people. I actually did not think that I could be a Pilates instructor. I thought I would go take Pilates and all these teachers were really amazing and they could do it. And it was somebody who I was taking from who was like, you know, you could be a teacher. Like, you're really good at this. You remember the names of things. Like, you're obviously really engaged. You should teach this. And it was like, I needed that permission because my parents had always, they went to college. My dad didn't, but like, they had the jobs that they had forever. And then that's what I was for everyone. And so I went to college, got a degree, wasn't using it. Tons of student loans. I was like, well, I like this job. So I'm going to do this job forever. So I ended up getting permission from someone to try it out. And I thought it would just pay for my love of Pilates because Pilates, like private sessions can be expensive. Yeah. I was living in LA. LA itself is an expensive place to like make your life happen. And I got so busy teaching Pilates, I had to quit my safe real job in 2008. So when everyone was canceling cable, I was selling Pilates to people and growing my business. And that's kind of how the dominoes started going.
Yes. Well, I am a Pilates fan. I love Pilates. I'm not practicing it right now, but I'm going to get back there. And I think especially I'm going to get back there because you make it really easy for people to access it. So can you talk about that journey of going from being a teacher, trainer in somebody else's large organization to then figuring out, wait, there's some different way to do this and like I can innovate?
Yeah, I love this question. So I was teaching private clients at a studio, and then I was also working for a high-end fitness company, which means it was very exclusive. You had to be a member to be able to take from me. And I learned a lot about how to run a business. I mean, I'm really grateful for those experiences, but I really did believe that everybody could do Pilates, and privates are expensive. And also, it's okay that they're expensive. Anything that's a one-on-one session in any industry is expensive because it's the person's time. You know, it's like, it's just how it is. So I didn't really love that accessibility was an issue. And what had happened was a kind of a few different things happened at the same time. I had started to get asked to fly around the world to teach other teachers how to teach Pilates the way I was, which is kind of nuts because I've been teaching for a few years, but I had the luck of having really amazing mentors in my life who were telling me, okay, I've taught you all I can. Here's this person down the street you should take from. And that person down the street had a couple of their proteges, and the person down the street studied with Joseph Pilates. So I was able to study with someone so close to the source, really understand the why behind the what, so that I could also break these complicated, weird-looking exercises down for people. Like, why would you do that? Like, how is that going to benefit your life? And so because of that, I started a YouTube channel, and people were asking me to come around the world to teach them. And my husband was like, you know, you have these classes who want you to stay teaching them. They're not going to be excited that you're going around the world.
Right.
You know? And so I told him was, well, if I do an online membership, and this is like, you guys, this was back in 2017. This is not when people were all doing it. I need to be different than what's already out there, which there was already platforms out there. And it needs to be something that helps people actually show up for themselves.
Yeah.
Because the thing that a gym or a private session or an in-person membership offer you is that accountability to use it. You have to sign up for the class and go when the class is. And so for a lot of people, they need that. And yeah. So I was like, how can I do that with an online membership? Yeah. And you're not alone. Like, we all meet expectations in a different way. And if you are one person who's like an obligation to show up, you have to know that about yourself. So how can we do that? So when we created the online platform, I fought tooth. I'm going to say, I wasn't like, I'm going to do this. I'm so excited. Like, my husband was like, you're going to do this. And I was like, I think that this is a terrible idea. But it was a genius idea. What we actually did was create it in a way that would have that accountability for people, but also keep it as accessible as possible. So the fees are, you know, not the same as if it went in person. And then the time of the classes are shorter because I know how busy people are. And I don't know why, in at least in the States, everyone thinks a class should be an hour. Like, you don't have to work out for an hour to say you worked out. And so I really wanted to like take away all the things that are obstacles for people to make it easy for them to show up. And also the thing about Pilates that gets all people really hung up is they have to look a certain way, and you do not. Mm-hmm. Anybody, if you have a spine that moves, can do Pilates, right? And if your spine doesn't move, unless it's fused, it should be moving. So right. We need to be able to figure out all the different ways it can move. And I really just wanted to kind of make it easy for people to show up for themselves.
Yeah, I want to flag that as so important because I know, for instance, when I'm at my optimum, which I'm not right now, but I'm working on getting back there, you know, after sitting at desk for the pandemic and like working from home, and I still work from home, but I'm in that phase of like, now I have time, but now I've taken care of that, now I can take care of this again.
Yeah.
But driving in a car to go somewhere for an hour is not always realistic. When I'm a mom, I have my podcast, I teach, do all these other things like we all do these days. But I also know that for me, optimally, working out in 20 to 30 minute increments works really well and gets my body really good results fast, right? Then it's easier for me to be more consistent. So I love the fact that you're saying you don't have to do a class for an hour. You can do it for shorter. You can fit it in to your life instead of having to fit your life around the schedule that that gym has. And, oh, those classes are all full all the time, so you can take them. So when are you even going to get there?
Yeah. And that's just it, right? They have to be full. They have to be waitlisted. Here's the other thing, guys. The only way brick and mortars really make money is if they sell more spots, more memberships to more spots that they could actually have. Every gym, if they had all of their members show up, could not handle it. And I'm not going to slight that, that's how the gym works, right?
Yeah.
And people come at different times a day. They have a longer thing, but that's true. And so for me, I do miss a lot of in-person workouts. There was like, I'm a high function introvert who likes to be around people, but not actually talking to them. I just want you around me, right? But the truth is, it's like, we're not even in the pandemic anymore right now. And I don't have the time to drive. Today, I had to drive from almost 20 minutes away for a thing that was going to be 30 minutes long and then drive 20 minutes back. And I'm like, I'm stressed out the whole time I'm getting there. I'm not that present while I'm there. I got to get back at a certain time. And I was like, oh my God, this used to be my life when I go in-person workouts and do things like that. So what I really love is that you could also do a hybrid, everyone. It doesn't have to be always working at home and always working out in person. You can actually have like, okay, on these days, I go to this class over here, but on these days that are busier, I'm going to do something that's online because it's going to be more accessible. I can fit it in. And can I also just say, for those of you who are parents, your kids seeing you do something other than sit at the TV during your like entertainment, air quotes, time is so impactful. If they see that you're moving, and yes, you could get interrupted. You could also invite them to do it with you. Pilates is one of those, especially on the mat, it's low impact.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean low results. High results, amazing. It's going to work your entire body, but your kiddos can do it with you. And you'd be surprised how good they are at these moves because they haven't let chairs and slouching get in the way of their movements. And so I think it's really something you could figure out what is going to work for me.
Yeah.
And y'all, 20 minutes, 4 days a week or 5 days a week is better than 1 hour, 1 day a week. Your body actually wants quality movement consistently, not a quantity of minutes inconsistently.
Nice. That's such a great quote. I'm like, I have to use that as one of my little quotes that I share from podcasts.
Can I just say that's the first time I said out loud like that? And I love what I just said.
I know. I'm like, Yes. Okay, that.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. I always say, because it is quality. How do you know you're doing Pilates? It's quality over quantity. So that includes the reps and the amount of minutes.
So you're also a podcast host. What was that journey like?
I don't know. I thought I should do one more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question I got asked the most, shockingly, was not a lot about Pilates. It was a lot about my confidence level.
Yeah.
And I actually don't really think of myself as a highly confident person. I think of myself as someone who is daring enough to try the scary thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like any project I do that has to do with my work is kind of like I'm at the edge of a roller coaster and I'm just like... You know, like, here we go. Let's see how this goes. And the podcast, what I wanted to do is that a lot of people were asking me to do one because they wanted my opinion on a lot of things. And I was like, well, I don't want to just have a podcast about my opinion. Like, that doesn't really work. But how do I answer this question about confidence? Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm doing in my life that I can actually impart to people? And also, most people don't realize that Pilates is a thing that they needed. And so I was like, well, if I get people to kind of fall in love with me around this idea of like how to be more confident and do things in their life, they might also want to spend time with me in other areas.
Yeah.
So I had like this like twofold approach. And so I was trying to figure out what I was going to name it. And it came to me when I listened to Amy Cuddy's TED Talk. Mm. And she was talking about the power stance. And the power stance, everyone's like that superwoman stance. And the science is that if you stand in it for 5 minutes, you will actually feel more confident and you can go into an interview and like have this confidence. But as a Pilates instructor, what I know is that most people can't stand in the power stance for 5 minutes.
Mm.
It's actually a really difficult thing to do because most people lock their knees out or shove their lower back forward or their shoulders are in their ears. So they actually can't do it. And so I was teaching people a whole workout in the Pilates mat class on like how to get into that power stance and be in the muscles for 5 minutes. And then while we were in that stance for 5 minutes, I was telling the story of where this was inspired by. And my husband was there, he was filming the class, and she was telling the story about how she didn't feel like she belonged in her school. Like she felt like they made a mistake. And she had a professor say, well, if you did belong, like, what would you do? How would you do that? And like, okay, you'd ask questions. So ask questions every class. And years go by, she ends up being a professor. And a student comes to her and is like, I don't belong. And she realized it's not about faking it till you make it. In that moment, she's like, you be it until you see it.
Mm-hmm.
So she had acted as if she was like belonged at the school so much that she actually didn't even realize when she stopped feeling like she didn't belong, and she actually did. And so I was telling the story, be it till you see it, and my husband goes, that's exactly what you do. That's the name of your podcast. And so really everything I do is like acting as if I know what I'm doing until I do know what I'm doing, and then I can do the next thing. And so I love to bring on people who share a story about how they acted as if, how they did things scared, how they did things imperfectly, because I think that what's holding everyone back, not just from having a Pilates practice, or by the way, any practice of any time that you want, is this idea that you can't be a beginner. You have to somehow automatically know how to do it already.
Yeah.
You should do it perfectly the first time. And it shocks the heck out of me because I see it in both people who are parents and people who aren't parents. And people who are parents, what I'd laugh at is like when your kid walked for the first time, you didn't go, ah, that foot's turned in. You fell. Ugh, you're never going to walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, we cheer them on. We get so excited so that we kick the dopamine up so that they actually try again. You know, they want to do it for you. So it just became this whole holistic thing about how can I like help more people ditch perfection, take some messy action, and then, you know, ideally get their movement in, because movement is what actually heals our body.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's how we release traumas and fears and frustrations in the day that really sets you up for success.
It really does. I just, not to totally segue, it's segue a little bit. I just bought a course from somebody that's like hips like honey, and it's just hip movements, because I've been seeing a lot of those things and I'm like, yes, Pilates and this, and I've only done it once, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to start scheduling this in my day every day, because the one time I did it, my body just felt so much more open and I felt so much better. And I know that doing these movements and, you know, incorporating them. And so that's what I think a lot of us, like you said, we think we have to be perfect. We think we have to know how to do it right away. But you don't. We have to, it's all about those little habits that you build up, right?
Yes.
Spend 5 minutes doing Pilates. Like, look at one of your intro videos on your website and then get there. And yeah, be it till you see it. That's not just, it's everything.
It's everything.
Confidence. It is every aspect of our lives. How many times do we have to do that? Every time you try something new, every time you start a new job or move to a new city. I mean, you moved to a city Was it like during the pandemic, right before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
No, it was during. It was June 1st of 2020. And we came from LA to Las Vegas, and LA was very shut down and Las Vegas was starting to open up. And my husband and I were like, well, we're going to just be inside until this whole thing goes down. We're just going to be in this house. And so really, we lived here for a full year before we actually like started going out into the city to like make friends. A couple times I'd gone shopping, friends had visited, whatever. But like, I actually didn't like get to know the community. I didn't go to a gym. We didn't do groceries were ordered. And so when some store like happened to like think that they should invite me to the owner's birthday party, which I like, I don't know. Why? I don't know how I got that invite. I feel like maybe they meant to invite someone else.
No.
At any rate, my husband and I were like, okay, we're going to go make friends. This is how we're going to do it as an adult. And I will say, like, it's been almost 3 years since that birth date. And we have a great group of people that we hang out with. I've got like the essential hairdresser and things like that. But as an adult, you know, being kind to myself and like trying to be in community is really hard because you compare yourself to the city you lived in before or the job you had before or the relationship you had before. And you forget how hard it was to make those relationships. You just remember the ones you left behind.
Right.
Remember the good stuff. And so like even today, there was a situation where I was supposed to go out with a bunch of people and they're going to meet me. And like as I'm driving further than I ever would for lunch, they all canceled. And I was like, and it was so like, this is a be it till you see it moment. Cause I'm like, okay, hold on. This is not them canceling on me.
Right.
This is them canceling on this lunch. It is not as personal as it feels.
Yes.
It feels personal, yeah. But it's not. And it's possible that this is not the type of group that actually values time the way I value time. And that's also okay.
Right.
And, you know, even giving myself that pep talk, of course, I'm like, ugh, I just want to have some friends I can go to coffee with. But it's going to take time and it's going to take being until you see it. So I can't go, well, that didn't work. I'm never going to do that again. It's like, nope, I'm going to try again with another group or another thing. I'm going to find things. I'm going to sign up for, I'm going to a Sound Bowl thing tomorrow. So like when you're in a new city, it's you have your job to do. I still have to create my classes. I still have to engage with my community and I still get to be a human being who's going in process. And the cool thing about being until you see it and Pilates, what I love about both is you'll never actually fully attain it because it's like a mountain with no peak and not in a perfectionist-y way.
Yeah.
Not like, and I'm never going to attain it, but like there's always more to learn once you've unraveled a layer. So once you think you've got an exercise in Pilates, you get to take that nugget of like, I got it. And you get to take it back into the exercise and find that there's even more reach. There's even more muscles you can connect to. There's even more things. And in your life, whatever it is you're trying to be it till you see, whether it's a career, a job, or a goal, there's just always another unraveling you can do. And that's so fun because like, my goodness, once you feel like you've made it, like it's going to get real boring, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's always something different right around the corner. I mean, that's like for my podcast, I didn't take it seriously at first. It was just a hobby and something fun to do. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to take it a little more seriously. And now I'm turning it into a full-time job. But that was such an evolution. And even then it's like, well, now I can do this. Oh, I want to do this thing with it. Or there's so many other things to try and test. And it's so fun and so beautiful to know that you can live in that space where you have that time, right? To know that you are what most of us would consider an expert at podcasting and at Pilates. But even you are saying there's still other things you can explore and want to learn and grow.
Oh, my goodness. And also, can I just like highlight that I love that you allowed yourself to like discover each level as it's time, because so many people are like, I'm going to make the podcast my job.
Boom.
And then they're putting pressure on themselves to be some sort of professional podcaster when they've never really done it before.
Yeah.
And two, also make a living off of something that they've never done before. You know, I know a girlfriend who actually used to be a journalist on TV and she's considering having a podcast. And even she's not trying to make it her full-time job because she knows how long it takes to grow these things. And so
exactly.
I think a lot of people try to get things to hatch before they're ready.
Yes.
And it was Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic. It's one of the, there's a few books in the world that I tell people to buy all the time. Hers is one of them. And the reason is she actually talks about how she didn't even quit her job as a professor, even when the movie Eat, Pray, Love was sold. She was still a professor because she said when your magic thing and when your creativity is forced to make money for you sooner than it's ready, you start to conform and change your art to get money if you need it.
Yeah.
And so really for anyone listening with anything you're wanting to do, when I created onlineplaticsclass.com, it's super important that you know I was still teaching private sessions full time for several years. The only reason I stopped abruptly was because the pandemic stopped me. I couldn't teach people in person. Luckily, I already had the platform up.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say, just so you all know, I had people going, oh my gosh, everyone's going to sign up. That's not what happened. Actually, that's not what happened. People were so nervous about what to do next. They were not letting go of their funds very much. And they were taking free things online via YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And so it actually took over a year for people to actually utilize what I built out there for them. Like, I could not put pressure on that baby. I was like, okay, what are the ways that we can make money so this can organically grow? Because that's the only way it's going to grow into what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I'm glad that you said all of that, because that was my next question is, you know, how was it? How hard has it been to be an entrepreneur? Because a lot of times too, when you love something, but then you make it your business, it's a hard transition, because then you're like, you have to handle the accounting and, you know, all the icky stuff that we don't want to as creatives. Like, we want to be creating and ideating and teaching and sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll hire people eventually. I will say, like, rather than continue to pay myself more, I've just been reinvesting in the business. So I absolutely pay myself what I want and what I need to enjoy my life. But it's still humble, because I'd rather hire a bookkeeper. I'd rather hire an editor. I would rather let the money spread out. And this, I think, is also a very female business owner thing, is that, or at least when females make money, they tend to pour it out into the community. And so for me, I love hiring people whose gifts and strengths are my weaknesses.
Yes.
And so they can do something they love and take over something I don't. So it has been difficult, of course, because nothing happens as fast as you want to. And you'll set, I'm so grateful. I heard this one person that I saw is super successful. And he said, I have missed every single goal I've set for myself in the last 6 years.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh. And he's like, I'm very successful. And he's like, if you're hitting the goals every single time, there's a chance that the goals are too low and you're not stretching yourself and you're not making yourself become the business that could hit those goals.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't hit most of the goals we set for ourselves for the different events and challenges we have, but we always can ask ourselves, well, do we act like the business that could? Like, was everybody on the team doing their part? Oh, or did we miss a deadline? Did we start too late? Like, did we not actually think about the person that this is for and the words that they would use? Like, so we're always reflecting and then editing, reframing, and redoing, right? So I think it is awesome. I absolutely love that I get to do what I love for a living. I also have to, as a creative, make sure I stay out of the stuff that is not for me. And whenever I get into those things that is not my strengths, I can tell, because I start getting testy. I start getting resentful. I start getting frustrated. I have to work.
Yeah.
And I love what I do. So I always use it as a sign, like, oh, time to reflect back on, like, what are my responsibilities in this business? Is it time for me to redefine my role? And is it time to, like, reassess who has to do what things? And that's kind of where we're at, where we talked today. I hired a new EA. We're bringing on another community manager, someone to help me, because as things grow, as we have more money to invest in the business and have better quality of things, things take longer than you think, everyone. Like, when I film a 30-minute workout, just so you know, it doesn't take 30 minutes. We got to set up lighting. Oh, the sun moved. Oh, the mics need to be today, this app that we use isn't working.
Mm.
Like, it's, so it's a really, so that's not always beautiful and sunrise and the rainbows. But the best thing you can do for yourself is really remind yourself why you do it. And it, for us, anytime I'm focused on, like, the money we want to make, that takes us out of the fun. If I focus on the impact of who I created OPC for, if I focus on the impact of who I created BTC for, that allows me to get out of the fear of, like, is this going to work? And actually have a lot of fun creating, like, okay, well, if it's just for this person, like, how do we get this person to hear about it? How do we get this person to change their life? And so I really have changed the word income to impact in everything that we do. So we can focus on that. And that makes it a lot more fun. But it is not easy. If you are looking at people working for yourself, like, oh, so nice for them. They get to make their own schedule. They get to do whatever they want to do. Just so you know, we do a lot of things we don't want to do.
Yeah, and we spend a lot of time, like, I have this whole thing of, I sometimes call it joy of missing out. JOMO, right?
Yes.
Because I'm like, I am so fulfilled by the time I do have with my family or my animals. But then I also like on a weekend, I'm also going to school right now. So I might have to work on my school stuff or I might have to grade papers all day. And that's okay because I know that I'll make up that time and I'll get to like, I know my fun time is coming down later, but this is also fun. And so everything you're saying, I'm like, okay, we need to actually meet in person.
I know.
I so resonate. Yeah. Hiring the right people has been so instrumental in me being able to make this shift and being able to like still have fun with it and think about like, what do I do next? And it really is the more energy you put into something that you love, the more opportunities come up, I feel like.
I agree. I think also, I love that you highlighted JOMO because I think so many people are trying to do so many things. And the truth is that there's just going to be seasons in your business and seasons in your life. And you just have to actually ask yourself, like, how long have I been like in fifth gear? Like, have I been in fifth gear for the few weeks that I needed to, or did I stay there for several months? Like, then it's probably time to hire or re-examine like the deadlines you've set for yourself. But I think also, you know, when my husband and I go on tour, and we go on tour, it means I'm really not talking to as many people as I would like in my friendship world. And I'm not actually doing a ton of the other creating that I would. I don't have filming when I'm on tour. So I'm on a JOMO thing and I'm actually enjoying what the road looks like and the views and spending time in the cities and getting lost and being creative that way. And yes, I do miss some of the things in my routine, but I remind myself I'm in the season of this right now. That will be there. But if I actually, while I'm on tour, I'm thinking about all the things I miss. And then when I'm not on tour, I'm thinking about all the things I should be. You can't do it all, guys. And the moment you give yourself permission to just screw up a little bit, figure it out, and then be patient, it will still not be easy, but it will be more fun.
So what is next? Are you going, do you have a tour teen up?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What is next? Okay. So last year was the first year we did two tours and we had the best time.
Oh.
And so we will do two tours this year, but we'll actually be planning them in April. The tours won't happen until late in the year, but we are going to actually plan the dates, plan the cities for both the winter and summer tour so that people can plan ahead. Who knows? Maybe their vacations will coincide with where we're going to be and we can have like these, like a bigger, crazier, amazing tour, seeing more people in person. But really, in this immediate moment, what's happening right now is that we're actually working on one of my products. I have a physical product and I'm going to do a photo shoot for that. So I'll be in LA actually soon to do that. Yes, Pasadena, LA. So the complete opposite of where you are. But we're working on that and getting that into the next stage. And product business is like not anything I ever thought I'd get into. And it is its own interesting thing to learn because there's Gantt charts of like, okay, if this is late, then this is late. And if this company doesn't have this piece of paper, it can't, like, it's so insane. But what I love is when I get to see people who learn through kinesthetic and they need to touch and see, like, I love seeing them being able to adapt to Pilates in a different way because sometimes people don't want to be a screen any longer than they have to.
Yeah.
And so that's the immediate thing right now is another flashcard deck.
Oh, very cool. I love that. And what is the best place? I mean, obviously, people should listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Honestly, in terms of online Pilates classes, can people just go on? Do you have like a trial or is there a range of devices they can purchase? Or what does that look like?
Again, I really wanted to make sure that this would fit for everybody. So you can go to onlinepilatesclasses.com. That's great. Or if you go to opc.me/challenge, you'll see we have different free challenges. We have a mat one out right now. And we have a reformer one. We're working on having two others, which will be more equipment specific. So you'd actually have access to those. But the mat one is for everybody. And the first one is only 10 minutes. And here's the thing. If you're like, wow, this was the hardest. I only could do three exercises. That's fine. I actually just want you to do those three. Just repeat them while I'm talking. And that is going to be your accountability for 10 minutes. Then you'll take that class as many times as you want. And then what happens is our system will let you know when the next class comes. You don't have to go look for it. We'll send it to you. It's 20 minutes. And then each week gets 10 minutes longer. You don't have to, though. If you're like, I'm loving 10, do the first 10 minutes of every class and just enjoy it. Like, no big deal. So you can do that as a trial offer for us. And if you like it, the way you pick a membership with OPC is just based on the equipment access you have. So if you only have room on the floor, you'll do the mat. If you have access to reformer, there's a reformer and mat. And then if you have access to a full Pilates studio, there's a full studio access membership. But we like to make sure that, you know, we know you're really busy. So based on the membership you choose, you'll only have 2 to 6 classes to choose from, which is awesome. And if you're like, oh, but I need variety, do not stress. Every Tuesday, one of those classes will disappear and a new one will drop. So 52 right. different themes of variety for you, but you don't have to go seeking them out. We'll put them in your library for you.
Yeah. That, how did you create all of that? Like, oh that blows my mind.
Because I focus on what would make me uniquely different to what's already out there.
Yeah.
And amazing. So we are probably the only fitness platform out there that's like, yeah, we're going to take away your class. No, you missed last week. You missed last week. And it's not in a mean way. It's not like I'm trying to take your money. It's because I'm trying to help you show up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time you miss a class is the last time you'll miss a class, because you'll be like, oh, I'm going to make time to take this class. And so it's really important to us that, like, if you are someone who's like, no, I really love searching for amongst thousands of classes, then we're probably not for you. But if you just want to log in, press play and move, I promise you, between me and the other teachers, you are going to learn something about your body. Boom. And you're going to learn different ways to look at the exercises. And then you get to compare yourself to yourself, which is so important to me.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can tell if you're progressing is if you actually get to revisit what you just did to see how you're doing. And what's so funny is, like, when you go to the gym, it's not like you're doing different weight training moves every single time. You're doing a few different ones each day, but each week you're doing your squats again, you're doing your pushups again, like you're doing pushes and pulls. For whatever reason, we get to a spin class or Pilates or yoga and we're like, it's got to be different. I got to be entertained. You don't. You actually need to be in your body. And so I came up with it because I asked people why they were quitting online memberships back in 2017. I'm like, why are you quitting? Why didn't you use it? And they told me it was too many things to choose from. And so, and they needed accountability. And so I was like, okay, well, how can I make it? How can I hold you accountable and help you use it? And that's kind of how it all came together.
Yeah. There's so many gems in here that you've shared about how people can look at constructing a business, especially creative endeavor, how to make sure that you're offering the things that people really want, make the right choices, figure out where the path is taking you. And it might be somewhere completely different than you anticipated, but it's going to be a beautiful journey. So thank you for sharing your journey with us.
Oh my gosh, Annika, this is so fun. Thanks for your amazing questions. And thanks for helping me come up with that great saying.
Yes, I love it. I know. I'm gonna have to send you the transcript right after this. So you can...
Yeah. Send me that quote card. I'm in.
Leslie, do you have a favorite quote, mantra, some words of wisdom that you will leave us with today?
Yes, I do. Perfect is boring. And if you don't love that, then you can also remind yourself that nobody wants to be friends with someone who's perfect. So that's my favorite one. It's what I tell myself when I start to get hung up on things being right or going a certain way. I'm like, oh, perfect is boring. This is the more entertaining way to go.
100%. 100%. I've loved this conversation. When you're in LA, I'm definitely going to come meet you. And yes, so besides our little fangirling and new friendship, thank you to the audience for watching this episode of Your Brand Amplified. And I'll be back again with another amazing guest tomorrow.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.